What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holland, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go. I got it all.
It's right there. I got it all in my boogie book. Yeah. Bookkeeper. My bookie 24-7. I got it all in my boogie book. Yeah. We in our bag now. All in my boogie book. Yo. Hey. Yo. Yo. Hey, welcome to the show. Hello. 24-7, Lord, hit him with the glow. Bleak. New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know. You now know. I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Uh-huh. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone. Okay. Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow. And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. In the 25th episode, Daryl chops it up with Christian hip-hop artist Solachi Voss. They discuss her latest single, See, her testimony, and her faith journey, which prompted her to leave her home and move to California. Solachi Voss also discusses her company called Solachi Writes, Inc., and her latest clothing line, Needy. It's a dope interview. You definitely will want to tune in until the end. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Thanks for joining us, Solachi Voss. Without further delay, let's go!
Hey, what's up? This is Kayla Kemp. Check out See by Solachi Voss and then dive into the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad and Solachi Voss only on the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast. Holla!
Just to see what you prepare for us. And when we call, you never could ignore us. You crossed the bridge to ride a different course. Read a lot of red. Help me navigate the hills or cry the darker forest. We hear your voice, it's there to reassure us. See past my imagination. Please make it real, no regurgitation. Plant your word inside my mind, divine accreditation. The universe will bow before your sovereign nation. Souls are hungry with a dinner plate. Shaking spirits stirred because I've been awake. Anchor for my thoughts because it's been awake. Hope inside your future. We don't have to choose. He's giving eight. Lay it on his side. We wait until the sea across the great divide. Because your plans multiply. No, I have seen. But I'm a dedicated pupil. Acted like light refracted. Made me fruitful. But God, you always write the better story and it's completed. Gave me space and wiped my tab clean. It's been deleted. Take this life for granted. Even though I'm planted on the rock, I will not worship planets. He made every galaxy to stop, and yet be ended famines. Oh, but yet when man examined, it ain't but a drop. So I cannot serve both God and mammon. God, you now expose the pattern. I need more faith if I can't see yet.
Your plan is written down, even if I don't feel free yet. Deep enough to dream, but I don't have to close my eyes. I've been needy from the jump, it's time to rise.
All right, without further delay, I want to welcome Solachi Boss to the podcast. What up, what's up, and what it do, Solachi Boss?
What's poppin', sir? How you doing?
I'm doing well this morning. How are you?
You know, blessed. You know what I'm saying? Not stressed.
Amen. Yeah, we want to give you a warm welcome, and we want to start off with an icebreaker. Who is Solachi Boss?
Oof. How thick is the ice? Man, I would say Solachi Vaz is a servant. I'm willing to say yes wherever the Lord requires.
Amen. That's what's up. I like that. Short, sweet, but I like it. I like that. I like that. So tell us where you're from.
Originally from Elkhart, Indiana. You feel me? The city with a heart, stand up. Born in Albemarle, North Carolina, and now I'm out here in the Bay Area, California. So a little bit of hopping, you know, went to school in Ohio. So a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know what I'm saying? But yeah,
represent. Okay, so, oh, go ahead, my bad.
Oh, no, I was saying I represent all four cities. So you feel me? Like, it's all good.
Oh, yes, ma'am. So you've been moving. That's awesome, to be honest with you. What was it like growing up in Indiana or the other three cities you were in?
All right, so peep game. So North Carolina was cool. That was back in, I'm about to give away my age a little bit, but that was back in the 90s. And so like when I was real little, up until when I was like in second grade, we were in North Carolina, Stanley County. And so when we moved to Indiana, I feel like that's where my life kind of started, in a sense, because that's where my parents really started, like, feeling like they were here, you know what I mean? Some people might notice, some may not, but I'm first-generation American, so my parents got here in the 80s. It was a little different, so I feel like when we moved to Indiana, that's where we got our footing, and that's where we really were able to start living. North Carolina, I always say that's when my parents still was working the group home that they had been working at. And I would say they actually ran it. So it was kind of like sharing my parents with people. It was a little annoying as a kid. But when we got established in Indiana, man, I just started seeing, you know, God really show up in different ways. And I feel like that's when I really started to grow up and understand the world a little bit. But yeah, it's... Indiana, man, it's like two different climates in one state. Like Northern Indiana is totally different than Southern Indiana, straight up. No disrespect, but it's a different climate. It's not too much hip hop going on. It's not a crazy amount of culture. Shout out to my boy T-Zank doing his thing in Fort Wayne. But other than that, it's a real kind of open state. So, you know, being close to Chicago, I was always kind of going over there, you know, jumping on South Shore, checking out the scene and stuff. So, yeah, that was pretty much it. You know, growing up in Indiana, that's pretty much it.
So, breakdown, first generation American.
Yeah, for sure. So, basically, my parents weren't born here. So, me and my sister are the first people in our family to be born in America. And so, just understanding the implications of that, you know, how to build a family, financially be stable, you know, and kind of play catch up, you know, with other families that generationally been here, you know, two, three, four, five, 10 generations. You know, God has really been good to my parents and my family, just accelerating our growth and development, you know, and being at a place to where we're able to say we own property here and, you know, just being able to be successful, not in the eyes of man, but just to be able to, you know, like I said, go forth and multiply. So, yeah.
Amen. So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe your parents are Nigerian?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Okay. So what is the, is it a, and I know I'm probably fine on you and your sister, but had your parents ever discussed any of the cultural differences between Nigeria and here in the United States?
Every day. Like, if we was back over there, this wouldn't fly. And like, you know, like even just watching TV with my dad is hilarious. Like, sit there and like, like this, dog, like, I don't understand. Like, you know, like the food commercial could be like, bro, what is that? That oil, like, what is, you know? Maybe like, culture, like, so much, but like, only the negative aspects, like all the sugar that we eat, and the fat, and all this crazy stuff that just does, is not over there. And so, even though they've been here for a while, like, you know, it's just kind of like sometimes having those shared experiences, they're just kind of like, bro, I don't understand what's going on. Sometimes me and my sister still have to like break down, like, okay, this is this way because it is, or introducing them to a new experience. You know, it's different. You know, it's like we're their link to American culture and they're our link to Nigerian culture, and we just kind of meet in the middle.
Oh, yeah, that's what's up. I think that's an awesome responsibility to have, too, as a child and a parent, to be able to adapt to the Americanism, if that's a word. If not, I'm making it up. But to be able to adapt the two cultures and having two kids born in America to adjust as a family, I think that's a big deal. Mm. So that's what's up. Yeah. So what made you just up and leave and jump in the cabin?
Shout out to my man. He actually inspired me without knowing it. So backstory for the backstory. He got here in the 80s, right? He started out in Louisiana. But he got to this country with nothing but like a suitcase and a scholarship, right? Mm. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, if he could do that in the 80s, you know, put himself through school, you know, be a dishwasher the whole time and work full-time and go to school and graduate, nobody's here, then I can go to Cali and be successful. The only thing was, it was right after a car accident and I was still, you know, undergoing some rehab when I heard the call to come here. And so that's when I started doubting it, because I'm like, my spine is still inflamed. I don't know what you're doing. I really can't, I'm airs right now. So that's a joke. And the Lord was like, like, it was like a ticket, like, you know, it was an opportunity unlike very many others. It turned out to be something I'm no longer a part of, but, you know, it was a unique opportunity to come out. You know, all I had to do was buy a ticket on the, you know, first plane is about this experience. Just trust in the Lord, same thing, one duffel bag, a one-way ticket, and just following him, trusting that even if I was wrong about it, I'd rather do it and do it with the heart that I believed I was following God instead of being fearful and wondering what would happen. So I did that, and still here 6 years later, you know.
Amen. That's what's up. So I'm listening to you, and then I have the honor, I would say, or the ability to edit Mr. Rail's show, right? So some of these questions I'm taking from him. So, but I'm listening to you and I'm listening to your story, and I see that that was a faith walk and a faith journey for you to just up and leave with the one duffel bag. And like what you mentioned in First Plane, one of my favorite songs of yours about that journey, right? Yes. So you were practically born into the church.
Yeah, I would say so. When I was about 5 years old, we were going to a church down in North Carolina, and I remember the moment I actually decided to accept Jesus, and my godparents, rest in peace, they were next to me, And they were just like, hey, you know, we want to help you on this journey. Because at the time, my dad was sick. We weren't sure if he was going to be around like that. So they actually took me in, me and my sister. Mm. They were my godparents. They were like, no, like, your sister's coming. With, you know, we love her, too. So they housed us so that my mom could focus on my dad. And, you know, that was really the moment where I saw, like, Christian Illustrated. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just... I was like, okay, this Jesus thing must be real, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no other reason for you to do this. So, yeah, that was, like, my first, like, introduction into the Christian world, you know, how things in real life are supposed to be, like, what faith is, like, taking what we had in Sunday school and really applying it in a real-life situation. So I was like, all right, I want to follow this Jesus. You know, if he's the one that made you do this for my family, then, yeah. Let's find out some more.
Amen. Yeah, seeing Christian application right in front of your face, I believe that that, and one of my things is I always say that we can quote all the scriptures we want, but our walk is just as important as our Bible study time and living out them Christian applications. So I'm glad you was able to witness that firsthand.
Yeah.
So how's your dad now? Everything good?
Yeah, he's great. He just had a birthday. He's, man, God has been good. He's preserved him. He's about 70 or 69 now. So, not to put that out there, but it's already out there. But I say, if you were to see him, like, you wouldn't think he's a day over 45. You know what I mean? God has really been good to all of us as far as preserving our health and restoring us, you know, even me, you know, back to... and even better than I was before, you know what I mean? So, grateful for that.
So, that was a tragic accident you were in. Not tragic, but a severe accident.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was with a, what do you call them trucks? A plumbing truck? Mm-hmm. Big, round, yeah. And, yeah, it was, I lost my job, my apartment. I had to go do rehab, you know, back at my parents'. Yeah, it was intense. It was intense season. But I know if it hadn't happened, there would have been no prompting for me to do anything different. I would have still probably just been doing a mediocre life somewhere in Columbus, not really fully reaching my potential. So in a weird way, I'm grateful for it. Sometimes, to be honest, I'm like, hey, Lord, could you have maybe done it a little less painfully? You know? but if it did, I wouldn't move. So... I know he has a purpose. He's still revealing it to me, though.
Amen. So let's talk about Solachi Boss Writes, Inc.
Yeah, it's actually Solachi Writes, Inc. for the company.
Okay. Yeah. Solachi Writes, Inc. My bad. What is that?
It's actually a web development and copywriting company. So I am, as you're going to allude to later, my trade is a writer. And so... during the pandemic, I had, like 3 months before the pandemic started, I had started working for an international real estate company. And so they had me doing things like writing the words for websites, social media content, doing all kinds of stuff, but on that scale, but for like 20 different companies. So I was like flooded with work. And then all of a sudden everything stopped because our parent company was based in Shanghai. So I said, okay, I'm out of a job. What am I going to do? That was February 19th, 2020. February 20th, I started Solachi Writes, Inc. And so I said, I'm just going to take what I do. I'm going to LeBron James this and take my talents. And go to my South Beach and start my own thing. And so I was like, you know, with the mindset of I'm going to offer my services to whoever needs it, because it's going to be a digital time. So let me go ahead and seek out some people that I can serve, and just started doing that. My first client, actually, I built his website. Now he works for the city of San Francisco, and I was able to assist over 15 Black-owned businesses with their first business plan, their business bios, and be able to help them submit for some grants for the Bay Area. So it's coming full circle, but I know the circle isn't closed, but it's one of those things to where I just really decided, hey, you know, you have a talent and a gift, you might as well. I mean, you were hired for this, so why not just, you know, bless people yourself? So that's really where it got started.
Like me, I'm trying to be an author, right? So it may be a little different. So I know that my intellectual property is already copyrighted because it came from me and my mind and my notes and pages and all that other stuff I write stuff down on, right? So could you, are you more into branding companies or, you know, individuals, or where does it start with the ground, or you just well-rounded in all aspects?
Yeah, I would say I've done a pretty good range. I've done individuals. I've worked with brands. I've worked with churches, worked with nonprofits, artists, real estate professionals, realties, different things. But as long as it's within the range of my interest, then I know I can deliver the best work. And just so that people understand, when I say copywriting, it's really just the text when it comes to like the website or any digital presentation. I do design as well, but I started with the writing because people kept calling me for writing. And then I'll be like, yeah, I can write that, but I'm not really trying to design for you. And they're like, oh, okay, I totally understand. And then they would go and ask some other people, and I would see the website and I'm like, okay, I know I'm not a designer, but I could definitely have done better than that. And so I was like, well, why merge, you know, the two efforts, not to put anything down from anybody else, but I was like, I want, you know, my clients to feel confident about what they have, but also too, I want to make sure that my writing is presented in the best possible. So I just added that skill set and still developing it and, you know, just trying to be better at what I do.
That's what's up. And anybody interested, we're going to have all her links in the show notes that'll take you to her company and to her artist page. And your website, dope, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. So you are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Salachi Bar. When we come back after these messages, we'll be hearing Salachi Bar's testimony.
Yes, sir. You already know what's going on, man. Say, man, shine on me, the soul of the city. I'm locked in to the Bookkeeper 24/7. We in there. It's up there and it's stuck there. You hear me?
What's up? Kayla Kemp back again, like Thanksgiving. Speaking of that, happy Thanksgiving. Now check out 7 by Salachi Voss featuring Miles Minnick, and then dive back into the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast. Peace.
We gonna do the left, stay anonymous. And we like underlay if they under us. Yeah, we don't wanna slap, we gonna take the whole lot. Yeah, you ain't got no time to respond to us.
It ain't enough for the slice. We ain't bargaining nothing for life. Yeah, we cutting off all of the lights. Choosing the price, ain't no need for dice. I ain't fought on my squad, yeah, we all in. Prick for the deck and we fall in. Coming correct, dealt with the spit. Flipping like geek, called in. He ain't taking no sides, but he with us. Switching sides, kinda came in clutch. We the people about to write the sequel. Keep it quiet, so don't talk too much. Putting our feet on repeat and the win that we seek, we gon' meet it immediately. We're vision elite, we see when we speak and it isn't a leak, we obediently. Pull a mask over my lid, curtain cover for what I did. 7 laps.
We gon' do the left, stay anonymous. And we like underlay if they under us. Yeah, we don't wanna slap, we gon' take the whole lot. Yeah, you ain't got no time to respond to us. Yeah, we go 7 rounds. We go 7 rounds.
We gon' go 7 rounds to the day that he coming down. Walk in silence and rip the crown. Walk on water and never drown. Never back down, we gon' sprint to the finish. Step around our city, redefining all the limits. Even if it's hard, I got all I need in God. Keeping on the spot, no matter what time on the clock. 7 laps, carry high. 7 laps till we
die. We gon' do the left, stay anonymous. And we like underlay if they under us. Respond to us. Then we go 7 rounds.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Salachi Boss. As we move into this segue, I love to hear testimony, and so do our listeners. Talk to us about the transition of unsaved Salachi Boss to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Man, I would like to say it's a process. I think the time in my life where I really accepted him, because I've always known him and I've always had a relationship with Christ, but I feel like after my first few years of college, I was like, okay, yeah, they wasn't playing. The world really isn't what, you know? And so I think from my freshman year in school all the way up to probably my, because I took 5 years in college, so probably like year 3.5, I was just trying to be accepted. I was just trying to be, you know, find my little pocket and just chill. I was doing everything backwards. My freshman year in college, I literally almost died like 6 times. Like, terrible decisions. Like, I'm not exaggerating. Like, you know, I don't know how much to say because I don't want to like endorse anything, but y'all, like alcohol, drugs, you know, time management, just really irresponsible sexually, like just everything you can think of, right? And I got to a place to where I was like, yo, like, what am I doing this for? You know what I'm saying? Like, and I feel like everybody kind of gets to that spot, you know, you're like, yo, like, what am I doing this for though? After I had a situation to where my sophomore year, I had an emergency surgery. I had 6 gallstones that they actually had to go in and take out. And I went to the ER that night and they were like, yo, like, if you hadn't come in tonight, we don't know where you would be at. Like, you probably wouldn't be alive. And what was crazy was I asked my roommate at the time, because I'm like, I'm on the floor, like, heaving, you know, passing out, like, just in crazy amounts of pain. And the moment that I realized the world don't love you like that is when, wow, this sucks to say, but I remember her stepping over me and going to her. And I asked her to take me to the hospital. And she was like, nah, I got a project due tomorrow. So I had to call public safety to come up and take me to the hospital. That was a crazy experience, you know what I'm saying? Like, my parents, the university actually ended up paying for them to come down and be with me because they weren't sure if I was going to make it or not. And just to go from that party, you know, like, everything's cool, we're all friends and everything like that. These are the people that would hit you up, you know, hey, we want to go whoop-de-whoop-de-woo, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to go over here and drink. We're going to go over here and smoke. We're going to go do this, then that, and the other. These are the people that would hit me up for a good time the first 5 minutes of the day. But I'm literally dying in my kitchen floor, and people don't want to drive me 0.6 miles to the hospital down the street. So I accrued a, you know, few $1,000 bill, and then on top of that was told I almost died. So it was at that moment where I was like, I don't really know why I'm messing with y'all. You know, I lost that whole semester worth of work. Ended up having surgery to remove my gallbladder and the stones and a tiny piece of my liver, which thankfully hasn't affected me at all. Yeah, it was crazy. It was messed up. But it taught me, like, nobody's really gonna look out for you like God does, and then after that, like, your family, because, man, you know, it was an experience like no other.
Yeah, them life lessons be hard sometimes when you look up and all you have is God and family. So I always get the opportunity to talk to that one out there feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that person right now that's on the fence with accepting Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them?
Don't fight it. You know, we spend so much time trying to fight
who God is and what he's trying to do in us and through us, that we end up wasting our own time only to come and arrive at the same conclusion that we know we were going to arrive at anyway. I would say if it's a struggle, that's an indication that there's truth, especially when it comes to your faith walk. There's a truth for you to discover, and it may not come in the form of just this flowery revelation, but to really ask God, you know, to challenge him and be real. Like, if you're struggling in an area, whether it's belief in him or to believe that he's going, that he's even still with you, or that this situation is going to improve or change in any way, I feel like the best thing to do is just to be at a place of peaceful humility and just understand, like, take the Bible at its word, take God at his word, because it's completely infallible. Communication is key, and I feel like a lot of times we as believers, we end up overcomplicating communicating with God. And so establishing that real relationship, not being afraid to ask him questions and to be direct, to say, hey, Lord, I need your clear and obvious direction here, and be all right with not getting an explanation right away, because that's the whole point. And I know we'll talk about that later, but that'll be my answer.
Amen. Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Solachi Bob. Stay locked in as we'll be back after these messages.
Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. Also, if you would like to receive a $20 gift card from Amazon, follow the link in the show notes and sign up for a paid plan. This will notify Buzzsprout that we sent you, and you'll receive more details. This will definitely help support our show. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters who's already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together.
This is Kyle Kemp from the Bookkeeper247.com. Music represents our uniqueness, our freedom, and helps define who you are. Good music is art, expression, and good music is always personal. The Bookkeeper 24/7 understands the influence music has on our lives. So on our website, we have the best Christian music for the culture. If you'd like to submit your music or videos to our website, we have the link in the show notes. Now back to the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast.
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Solachi Boss. Let's talk hip-hop and your transition to Christian hip-hop. Who influenced you the most in music coming up?
Oh, man. My answer ain't gonna make no sense at all. No sense. All right. So one of my answers is Lauryn Hill, clearly. That's not surprising at all. Mm-hmm. You know, just listening to her, I think I was, again, I'm about to age myself. But I want to say I was like 6 or 7 when Miseducation came out. And it was one of those, it was one of those projects to where that was still the era to where you were like, oh,
mm-hmm,
women can rap, like, you know, like
Like, and I remember listening to her and just being so fascinated with not just her wordplay and delivery, but the fact that she could sing and rap. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, no way, this is the same person. She got a sister, cousin, somebody. But just listening to it and understanding more about her life, it folded me into her music in a way that it didn't happen like that with any other artists for a while. So mm-hmm. I think I learned a lot about song structure from her. But actually, my growing up, I didn't listen to rap until like probably 13, 14. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my influences was contemporary Christian. So Stephen Curtis Chapman, Rebecca St. James, like those people, Avalon. But then also like classical music. So like in kindergarten, we would be put down for nap time, and I remember they would play like Tchaikovsky and Vivaldi and Beethoven, and I was like, that's it, I'm playing violin when I get older. And I did, you know, from kindergarten all the way until whenever they let you play an instrument in school. I was like 9 or 10, I'm like, no, I'm playing the violin. And okay. So that's what I was like, yo, like musically all over the place.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good, though, you know, to be honest with you, instead of just limited.
Yeah.
It seems to me like when you're just into one thing, you limit your range of things. So I think that's good. And it shows up in your music. Now, I'm personally looking for that Lauryn Hill MTV Unplugged, the album. My wife got me a record player for Father's Day. So I'm searching high and wide. I can just buy it off the internet. But they got these record shops in Birmingham, Alabama, where I'm at. So I be going in there looking through all the little record files and stuff. So I'm looking for that Unplugged MTV edition. Yes, yes, ma'am. All right, is there a battle between staying tight and staying humble, especially as a Christian rapper?
Honestly, for CHH, I think the only way to stay tight is to stay humble. I don't feel like you really got to examine yourself. Like, why are you doing this right now? It's a very moment by moment. Even during performances, I have to do that. Because it's like, am I up here to show people how much I can do? Or am I up here to tell them about how much God did for me? And so every single thing that I write, like, I'm very slow to put things out because I want to make sure that it's not about glorifying me. Even though I know it will, because that's inevitable, because my name is on it, but God's name is on it first. And so I try to make sure, that's how I really balance it, like making sure I put his name first in everything. So I don't feel like it's an either or, I feel like it has to be an and, you know?
Yeah, amen, that's a great answer. When did you want to start using your gift from God for God?
I never did. Honestly, shout out to my man Excalibur. He got me started, man, up there in Elkhart. I just was up there doing a talent show for my church. I read a poem that I wrote, and everybody was like, it was so good. And I was like, y'all need to chill. And so, you know, visiting that day, it was, I think, his first time at the church or something like that. He was from Harlem. He came in, and he was like, yo, here's a CD full of beats. And I was like, what you want me to do with this? I don't even know your name, bro. Like, who are you? And it was like, right to him. And I, you know, I played some of the beats. I was just like, yeah, that was cool. That was cool. Came next week and he was just like, did you write to him? And I was like, what? Back. And so after that, you know, I was like, all right, cool. He ended up booking like this 15-hour long studio session with me and my boy 3CK. We was working together at the time, and it took that long just to record one song. So first experience like ever recording anything, and yeah, it took forever. After that first time, I was like, yeah, this might not be for me, for real. But the song kept getting requested because I was in high school at the time. I was a freshman, and people was like, oh, this is dope. And we ended up going to state for this like art competition.
out of like hundreds of submissions, we got picked to perform at state. And I was just like, even to be able to be there, you know, was crazy. So I was like, all right, well, maybe we got some, you know, maybe we have something that people want to see and hear. And so after that, like, all right, Lord, whatever you want to do with this, let's go.
Hey, man, that's what's up. How do you feel about Christian hip hop as a whole now? Some of the positives, some of the negatives, mm-hmm. some of the differences between now and then?
Yeah, for sure. I think the positive, what I'll say is, it's broadened itself. There's a broader range of sound. I think also another positive is there's a lot more younger cats. When I first started, it was like everybody was 30 and up, you know what I'm saying? But now it's more accessible, and it's competing more with the culture itself from a secular standpoint. I think the quality has gone up a lot, from production to recording to the aesthetics. One of the negatives I would say is there's a serious lack of discipleship and business acumen. There's not a lot of good business practices going on and accountability to people doing what they say they're going to do or the way they say they're going to do it, or even just in a godly manner, you know, going one to another mm-hmm. instead of, you know, just the biblical aspect of how to handle yourself in your business. But I would say the difference, I would say just when I started, it was pretty much all like East Coast. It was a very singular, linear kind of sound. And then came the crunk era. But now I feel like there's a little bit of everything. There's pop, there's funk, there's a little bit of boom bap, there's trap, there's everything. There's West Coast, you feel me? There's a Bay Area slaps, there's everything. So that's who you listen to in the secular realm. Not to say that we've created our versions, but we have something to where you don't feel like you have to sacrifice what you like to listen to in order to find something comparative. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of the West Coast, what was it like working with Miles Mitchell?
Oh yeah, for sure. That's my bro for real. It's crazy. Like being out here, how the Lord just kind of linked us up. Shout out to, Shell T, you know what I'm saying? Entertainment Too Real, Joe Turner. You know, they really were the ones who networked me with him, and just being able to connect with him, you know, understand his heart, and really not just be like, hey, you want to jump on this track, but hey, this is what this means. Are you willing to partner with me to make sure as many people as possible are able to resonate with this? And so our first that we did right now, it was crazy, you know, how everything just... Mm-hmm. into each other. We shot that actually down to LA and at Victory Beach and a few other spots, I believe on Melrose. And so it was crazy just to see how, even with the video 7, you know, we just popped up on the scene and there was a bulldozer that was perfect for the concept, just sitting there, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So just watching, you know what I'm saying, how the Lord just kept orchestrating things without us having to do too much. Miles is super humble, easy to work with. You know, it was a pleasure. He actually was on the Invasion tour. He just stopped in my hometown, so he was able to chop it up with some of the people that I got started with. So it's been a real full circle moment. So shout out to him and his album Holographic, you know.
Yeah, Smoke. Yeah, that's a nice album. Yeah. It really was. Mm-hmm. How was it like performing at Berklee? What was that more about? I seen you rapping, but it seemed like it was more than that going on.
Oh yeah, for sure. Shout out to Hot Stuff Studios. They had me come through. An artist by the name of RNJ. I met him up here in Vacaville. We had a show up there I'm forgetting the name. She gonna get mad at me. Miss Faye, I love you. Studios, got it. Bliss Studios. So she had a words event, and you know, we met up there, and so he invited me to his show down in Berklee. Basically, what it was a artist showcase. I went, spit my verses, you know, had it covered with the camera, and basically, I just wanted to just spread some love, you know, spread my craft and just introduce folks to what it is that I do and why I do it. But yeah, it wasn't nothing too serious, but they just got a new space up there for creatives. I just wanted to, you know, go share some love and share the Lord.
That's what's up. Being a part of the Invasion Tour yourself now, with some of the bigger names in our space like Bizzle, Dayton, Brian T, Porsche Club, Mission, and more, what does that mean to you to be able to share the stage with some of your peers?
I would say, I always had asked the Lord for opportunities like this before, and I was like, you know, when is it going to be my turn? But I'm finally at a place to where I feel like the Lord can trust me with something like that, and that feels good to know that. But I think I'm in a space to handle the responsibility that something like that actually requires. So in a lot of ways, it's kind of like an exam in class. So I'm looking at it like being properly prepared for a test, but then also not trying to put too much stress on myself and just let God be who he's going to be. I know he's given me an incredible gift and I'm confident in my music, but it's really just about preparing my heart and my mind for what's going to go.
Amen. Speaking of your music, what do you want the listener to get out of your new, to me, hit song, mega hit song, C?
Thank you. I want people to understand that they are seen by God, that it's possible to see him working in you, in your life, and that perspective is everything. I think those three things are important in the sense that a lot of times people lose hope because they feel like either they can't see God or that he doesn't see us or both. And so I feel like that whole issue of like a brass ceiling, that's why people stop praying, they stop going to church, they stop seeing the point of things because it's very nearsighted. And of course, I wear glasses, I've worn them my whole life, so the parallel spiritually to me was obvious. But just understanding how the Lord works spiritually in your eyesight, but then also how he's designed our eyes to be able to perceive light. Just studying all of those different things, everything from, you know, studying light years in space. You know what I'm saying? Like, I nerd out. You know what I mean? So I was just like, Lord, I really want to understand this because, you know, vision and sight are so important to us as humans. But yet you're asking us to walk by faith instead. So why did you take the time to give us eyes? You know what I'm saying? And so what he said to me was, not everything is at eye level. Mm. And so what he was saying was, it's not eye level, but eye level. We always want to look at things from a selfish perspective. And that's why I said perspective is key. Because we're always like, yo, like, why is this happening to me? But a lot of times it's like, look, like, just wait until you see what I have for you over here, you know, much like the promise, just wait. You know what I'm saying? It's flowing with milk and honey.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Was that you singing on the hook?
It was.
Okay.
It's the first I ever tried to like sing, really. Like, I was like, mm-hmm. I take the filter off except for one.
Yeah, that was awesome. I know, how did, when you're looking at Mr. Rell react to your song, C, and I know he was formulating, going back and forth about, is she singing on the hook? But when he comes out with, she can out-rap most everybody. How do you?
I was like, it's fired.
Yeah, so that's got to be amazing to see someone react to your music like that.
Yeah.
And humbling at the same time.
Very, very. Because I was kind of nervous. I was like, hey, man, if it's trash, just don't even do it. Like, if you don't like it, you feel me? Like, I just said to him, like, hey, man, I'm thinking about putting this out, but just let me know how you feel. And so I wasn't even expecting that type of reaction. So I was happy, you know. I'm not gonna lie to you, I was happy.
If I'm a listener and a new fan, what do you want people to get out of your music?
That God is real. He hears us. Your experience is valid, but his presence and his will for your life is too. And I would say what I make is overcomer music. So the biggest message is whatever you do, don't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up in your pursuit of truth, his truth. Just what I think about is just the woman with the issue of blood who went through the crowd and was like, no, no matter what, I have to touch him. That's what I want people to take away from my music, is that I was that woman. And in a lot of ways, a lot of us are in one way. Or so we just have to make sure that no matter what we do, no matter who's watching, no matter who's going to talk about us, no matter what, that we stay at his feet and we do whatever we can to just touch him, you know?
Amen. And before we get out of here, what vision or what kind of project does Solachi Ba see herself making in the foreseeable future?
Oh, man. I think 2023 might have an EP in it, perhaps. But what I'm actually working on is what you see right now. It's a clothing line, KNDY, and it's pronounced Needy. And it's just what it is an incentive to change the culture. A lot of people in the culture, myself included, used to struggle with pornography and just issues of, you know, sexual impurity. And that actually is a whole industry in and of itself. And it further traffic ways that we can't imagine. And so there was a point in my life where I had an experience in real life that someone did to me that's much like somebody just, you know, viewing an inappropriate video. So at that point, I was like, I have to really separate myself from this and get some freedom. But not just get some freedom for me. I wanted to do something that was actually going to push freedom for other people who were caught in the cycle of human trafficking. So Needy is dedicated to reversing the effects of human trafficking and pornography on a culture. And the whole purpose of that is taking the vowels out, because those have already been bought by Christ, and just putting everything in his hands so it's made to rise.
Oh man, that's dope. That's a dope concept and a serious meaning behind that, Needy. And we'll be on the lookout for that. I know you just starting this, and you have our support on that. I like that.
It's yes, actually, man. The last line in my song, C, alludes to it. So it's talking about, I've been needy from the jump, it's time to rise. That's basically what we're talking about. You know what I mean? A lot of times folks that are caught in this cycle aren't seen. And the we are choosing to do, and I say we at large, isn't really noticed. So it's something that, you know, I wanted to point out that's what that line comes from.
Yeah, and before we close out, I'm going to say this too, because I know California, West Coast, where you're at, and people go out there with the stars in their head and wanting to be a star and everything like that. And a lot of the young women and young men, if we keep it real, end up on what we call the director's couch.
Yep.
And, you know, and that leads to the pornography, the trafficking, and everything like that. So that's a great cause. And we will support you in that. Yep. Last but not least, fam, let the people know where they can follow you at and cop your music and your clothing line.
Oh, for sure. So all of the music is available everywhere music is sold. So everywhere from A to Z, you know what I mean? Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, Deezer, all of those platforms. Feel free to check it out at solachibaz.com. It's S-O-L-A-C-H-I, V as in Victor, O-Z. .com, and
The clothing line is on the way. Pre-orders are going to be ready soon. The website just got finished, but we're working on a couple more designs and some things with our suppliers right now. So we're going to be opening those up within the next probably few weeks, around maybe around Christmas is the goal. But definitely keep you updated on that.
Amen. Solange Voss, I hope that the Lord continues to keep blessing you. You personally, your family, your ministry, your music, your clothing line, everything that you touch. I pray that the Lord touches as well, like the lady you just mentioned with the blood that just wanted to touch Jesus' garment. I pray that the Lord continues to use you, move you, and guide you so you can use, move, and guide others as well.
Amen. Amen. I pray, bro.
Amen. And family, you know where you can catch us at? Just go to your favorite web browser and put in hashtag TBK247. I guarantee we'll pop up everywhere. We out.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. We are on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, AudioMac, and many more platforms. If you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside the show notes. There, you will have an opportunity to give a one-time blessing or monthly if you choose. Basically, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give will be very much appreciated. The donations will help our ministry help others, as well as our growth regarding better equipment, so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.